Blog Talk Radio.
Consuming, eating, deleting, ruining.
trying to get paper. Gotta have land, gotta have acres. So I can sit back like Jack Nicholson, watch niggas play the game like the Lakers. In a world full of 52 fakers, gypsies, seances, mystical prayers. You superstitious, throw salt over your shoulders, make a wish for the day, cuz like somebody got a doll of me. Sticking needles in my artery, but I can't feel it. Sometimes it's like part of me, but I got a real big spirit. I'm fearless, I'm fearless. Don't you try to grab hold of my soul. It's like a military soldier, since 7 years old. I held real dead bodies in my arms, felt their body turn cold. Oh, why are we born in the first place if this is how we gotta go? Dang. To all the wisdom and knowledge seekers of the world. Savali. Patience. Yeah.
Free the land, which is our battle cry. Battle cry. Raise your hand. Free the land. Meaning do the work. In honor of the International Women History Month, we're going to time a new African Women History Month. We're going to be talking with the new African women of the 2023 New African Plan they committed. Before I bring on these distinguished guests, distinguished sisters, distinguished women, I'd like to read something that the ancestor Thank You to Ray wrote called The Role of the Women Revolution. This is based on an excerpt from the methods and doctrine of the PDDG. It's called The Position of the Women. If African women cannot possibly conduct their struggle in isolation from the struggle that our people wage for African liberation, African freedom, conversely, is not effective unless it brings about the liberation of African women. It was not until the colonial system introduced its shameful practices of oppression and exploitation that the role of the women in African society became distorted in its forms and contents, resulting in the insane disqualification which our free country must liquidate thoroughly. A people's freedom is not measured by the rights that a fraction of the people enjoy. It is measured by the degree or quality of the rights and duties of all elements of the community in respect of a creed, education, race, sex, or wealth. On the foreign rule, the traditional patterns of African society were gradually supplanted by negative values. This process eventually resulted in a degradation of the position of women in our society, depriving them of their most sacred human rights. It should be recalled that in several African societies, matriarch conferred upon women a paramount social and even political role, and that quite generally, the participating women in the economic, social, and cultural life used to be no less than that of men. While in family life, she enjoyed full authority to care for the interests of the family and educate the children. However, colonial examples of spoliation, arbitrary authority, oppression, exploitation brought about a reversal of the traditional social order, victimizing women most cruelly. Now, fortunately, the progress of decolonization and African unity, which dominate Africa's political situation, is tending to be to put the process, to put the process of evolution of acquired people. Hold up. Evolution of a people on an acquired different power from that which the colonial and imperial power have been trying to impose on us. Condition of womanhood in Africa is one aspect of the general condition of the African people, which was seriously impaired by colonial oppression and exploitation. The economic exploitation which robbed our people of their riches and of the fruits of their labors while making for the prosperity of a financial economic trust in the metropolis spared no single section of the African population. Our countries were regarded as reservoirs of raw materials that they had to export in huge quantities to feed Western industry. Our workers had to sustain the crushing burden of all the exploitation of the physical and intellectual energies for a wage not even sufficient to secure adequate food. As to our farmers, the colonial system regarded them only in terms of export crops, while thousands died of starvation every year. Thus, the economic life of African territory was dominated by the law of colonial profit. Buying African primary commodities
dirt cheap and selling imported manufactured goods at a profit of 200%, 300%, or 500%. In war times, Africans were enrolled as cannon fodder. European wars made countless widows and orphans, plunging many African families to mourning. In the context of their overall predicament, was it possible to think of the emancipation of African women, while the peoples to which they belonged were subject to the most inhumane slavery, which transformed enslavement to a thing, a tool, an instrument for the welfare of his master, whereas continent-wide slavery imposed by feudalism and colonialism were the main feature of the economic and social relationship which obtained in our countries. There were also internal practices of domination, exploitation, and oppression within African society itself. In addition to the evil generated or aggravated by the imperialist rule, African women knew forced marriage, arbitrary divorce, and permanent insecurity in their family life, especially in old age. In societies where there is a sharply divided social structure of hostile classes, the four physical groups are young and old, men and women are blurred by class consideration and interest, and so have only a very superficial influence on social relations, even helping to accentuate class differences. Thus, the movement for female emancipation, which once enjoyed a period of relative glory in capitalist countries, was essentially bourgeois. One understands full well how the working wage earning woman who was the victim of shameful wage and employment discrimination in those countries, had a keen sense of the nature of this exploitation and of her proletarian condition. In fact, it was due to her active solidarity with the proletarian movement through the trade union that the most flagrant abuse and exploitation of the wage-earning women was wiped out. On the other hand, in societies where the community relations of a subsistence economy had not been fundamentally altered by history, social classes are not distinct, but the physical groups or categories have played an important role. They were responsible for the growth of several forms of social organization due to the part which each played in the production process. And this varied according to the specific condition of their environment. The forms of organization were often very different from one society to another, but all, without exception, helped to strengthen social harmony and solidarity, develop community life, and consolidate its internal balance. In Africa, the custom which bound, and on the whole, still do bind the relation between the social category suited the evolutionary demands of the community in the period of subsistence economy. The matriarchal forms of organization show clearly that there was no discrimination against women in Africa. One can even go so far as to say that polygamy did not call in question her social equality, being at that time a social as well as an economic necessity. We should remember that in numerous African societies where there was a matriarchy, the woman had a leading social and political role, and compared with the man, generally had an equal, if not superior, share in social and cultural life. But we should also remember that under colonial rule, because our working masses were reduced to extreme poverty, polygamy became yet another means of intensifying her exploitation practices. This is why we say that the human condition of the woman was, and in many ways, many cases, still is that of the slave of a slave. The woman was regarded by her companion as a commodity. One of his belongings, his dignity, and personality were trampled upon. The slightest pretense was a motive for divorce. Even a woman had been a source of joy and favorite companion to her husband for 30 or 40 years, she was always in danger of being repudiated, parted from her children. She could even be forced to return the dowry and the value of the jewels, garments, and other gifts offered to her on the occasion of her marriage. Since the woman herself was regarded as an object, her personal belonging became the property of her husband, who had the right to use her and her property as he pleased, without any restriction. The dowry, which was meant to be a symbol of friendship and union between the two families, linked in their descent, became a source of speculation. Thus, forced labor had its prolongation in the exploitation of women, an exploitation which indeed exceeded the social necessity imposed by history. Contrary to our principle of social freedom and respect for the human person, social discrimination kept our sisters in subjugation, unskilled and confined to domestic or subordinate tasks. Without wishing to return to an archaic conception of traditional family life, we should struggle vigorously for the transformation of such habits. Our mother and our sister fully realized that social liberation must be preceded by liberation from foreign domination. And throughout Africa, played an important and often decisive part in the struggle against colonialism for national liberation. Today, they can proudly claim to have contributed to the irreversible victory of the African peoples over the forces of domination, exploitation, and oppression. By active and courageous participation in the struggle to rewind national sovereignty, the African woman has earned the unwritten right to play a full part in national reconstruction and the historic rehabilitation of our people. But ways are open to us to achieve this reconstruction rehabilitation, appreciating as we do our social values to which our human values are linked, we should rely on them to show the way, which will preserve the human categories of our society from being penalized or arbitrarily discriminated against. This is why Guinean women have been enthusiastic in their support of the PDG policy, which are based on a total democracy in order to assure rapid evolution of the nation in absolute harmony and social justice. However, while this path gives absolute equality to women, it also demands certain commitments on their part in order that political liberty can serve our social liberation. National liberation will be meaningless if it allowed to persist in any form, wherever, of the oppression and exploitation of the social degradation, their personalization, and discrimination introduced by the foreign oppressors. In order to ensure that their action is positive, women ought to attack all the obstacles to their liberation. But above all, they should give support to everything that will lead to social equality between men and women. After having been harshly disqualified for a long time, the African woman yearns to be treated with dignity. She wants to become a manic example to have her place in society, her role fully restored to her, and she is ready to accept all her human responsibility, political, economic, social, cultural, and at home. The African woman is so determined, her demand so legitimate, that in all African countries, she plays an active role and entirely aware of her responsibility. It is not enough to wish for the liquidation of polygamy or the dowry to put an end to these practices. The most important thing is to fight for the freedom of marriage, the regulation of reason for divorce, the education and vocation and training of our daughters. It is through the struggle for effective representation of women in our institution that real emancipation will become possible and that social equality between man and woman will be achieved. Far from creating division, the struggle for our women is a sector of the front in the great movement for African emancipation. It is one of our instruments to speed up liberation and social advancement of our people. In this context, our women organizations assume a political character which demand from every woman conscious and consistent militancy, a high degree of political awareness, and active participation in national and African activities. Some would like to confine our women to their domestic duties or to see their organization occupy themselves with charity, visit to hospitals or kindergartens, contest or beauty competition. Yet in the context of revolutionary Africa, such activities come only in second place and they tackle only superficially the harmful effects of our historic conditions, failing to combat the fundamental causes of our economic difficulties and social shortcomings. The feudal and colonial system refused to give women the least chance of intellectual enlightenment and professional training. The woman was kept from political life. Her right to vote was denied her, and so it is still in many African countries. National affairs were managed by only a portion of the people, with, of course, the exclusion of women. The discrimination thus inflicted on the African woman in political life was paralleled by discrimination in the economic, administrative, and social spheres. Economic discrimination barred the way to many professions, even if she had the talents needed. Above all, it meant unequal pay for equal work. It is our deep-seated conviction that these unfair practices, so harmful to the dignity and interests of our mothers and our sisters, since they impede their emancipation and the full development of their personality and traceable essentially to the nature of the political system which existed or are still existing in African countries. The will to put an end to these practices presupposes the will to supersede them by fundamentally different ones. They will to secure for our women a life quite different from that which they were used to. Living means that we should agree to embark upon the path of change and the quality of the material and moral living condition of our people. Since the loftiest human intention cannot be converted into concrete reality without a creative effort, without an action aimed at destroying what is doomed to death while satisfying our new aspiration, it all amounts to saying that the awakening of African women to consciousness must of necessity find expression in a practical struggle. Struggle against colonialism and remnants of feudalism, struggle against capitalist exploitation, against political, administrative, and economic oppression, struggle against discrimination on account of creed, struggle against unequal pay, social insecurity, insecurity in family life, and et cetera. We must first of all break the bonds of colonial slavery so that our people are free to dispose sovereignty in matters of their own life and of their relation with other people. To remove any misunderstanding, let's clearly state that the independence we have in mind does not solely consist in a departure of the white representative of a system or exploitation, which has no race or nationality and is rather defined by its production relationship and by the practice that it generates within the society. Genuine independence that would free both man and woman find expression in the fundamental reconversion of the old structure would generate the unjust practice of feudalism and colonialism and the no less unjust behavior of the husband towards his wife. We must promote a social policy that will free our women who for too long have been subject to degradation and depersonalization, a policy which will rehabilitate the social caste will be considered inferior, a policy which will wipe out any discrimination and injustice. Owing to the dynamic and revolutionary content of a new regime found in the will and interests of the people, we can say, therefore, that the human condition of womanhood in Africa will grow better as the principle of freedom, equal democracy, and the political, economic, and social life of African nations are realized. Unquestionably, the social condition of women is directly linked to the importance of the role that the people of their country actually play in the exercise of national sovereignty. In other words, the more sovereignty and freedom that people enjoy and the better it deserves in enforcing the principle of equality, the better are the living conditions of women in their community. The unjust practices engendered by the subjection of women to men were linked to a given economic predicament and a false social organization. For all the laws that we may enact, some of these practices will further debase our women so long as the objective cause which gave rise to them are not totally eradicated. The basis and content of our economic action, the revolutionary target of our social policy, deeper democratic practices introduced into the political life of our people, since our achievement of independence have a powerful impact upon the evolution of Guinean women, who have become alive to the values and huge creative potentialities she represents. All women of Guinea are members of the PDG and participate actively on a footing of equality with men in discussion and decision-making on all issues of communal, regional, and national life. Functioning offices formerly inaccessible to women are now held successfully by our sister, who are worthily represented nearly 4,500 municipal councils, 26 general councils, and executive 7,000 local communities of the 43-party branches, as well as in trade unions, the National Political Bureau, and the government of this republic. There will be no limitation to the enrollment of our sister in the service of the economic, culture, and science development of the nation. We already have Guinean air hostess. We shall have women pilots, hundreds of nurses, social workers, midwives, and teachers are being trained in our school. We also want female doctor and high school teacher, veterinary expert, surgeon, and geologist. We have female ticket collector, telephone operator, secretaries. We shall have female heads of department and female cadres in our enterprise. Guinean women shall cease being more mere instruments of production in the national and nation economic life or service and family life. They will become country workers for the nation economic reconstruction and partners having their full share in the family. Far from deploying with crocodile tears, the difficulties, objectives, and subjectives facing our mothers and our sisters, we have resolved to work for their emancipation all the more sincerely that this is a condition for overall progress. It is in this revolutionary outlook that the PDG should reinforce the dynamic action for the political professional and moral education of Guinean women, which will make them the equals of men in all walks of life. And giving our women their rightful place in our economic life, the PDG and the government mean to free them once and for all from their own inability to provide for their own needs and to embark them upon the path leading to rapid emancipation. Then instead of a community of master and servant, marriage would be the free association of country equal partners. Then they said the healing powers of a person lie within the person, not with the doctor, a pill of a knife. The healing power of community lies within the community, not with a ballot box executive order or a referendum. You know, there was some from the ancestor Sekou Toure. You know, and the show must go on, you know. You know, I also be joined by my co-host, Minister Akin Bekele. You know, I'm going to open up some of these social lines so they can introduce themselves, you know, the new African women, the new the 2023 new African Nation they plan to commit. I'll open up some of their lines right quick so they can introduce themselves. Free the land, free the land, free the land. Free the land. Your line is open. 901-480, your line is open. 901-292, your line is open.
Free the land.
901-570, your line is open. Free the land. Body Minister, how y'all doing? How y'all doing tonight?
How y'all doing tonight? Free the land, everybody.
Free the
free
land.
We're doing well. How about yourself?
Doing good.
Doing well.
Good.
Okay. First, I'll thank y'all sisters for coming to their broadcast, sharing out your understanding. Thank you for the work you did in the past, present, and the future. Thank you for the work you're currently doing. This is New African Women History Month, you know, and it's always good to celebrate, commemorate, you know, and acknowledge the sisters that are actually doing the work, you know, in a productive manner. So that's why this show is taking place. Also, it also reminisce our New African Nation Day to take place this month, March 31st, that extends into April the 2nd in Charleston, South Carolina. You know, who do we have on the line? Introduce yourself. Everybody introduce themselves and tell who they are. Live about themselves. Tell who they are, their position in the government. Tell who they are.
Well, free the land. This is Sister Salma Ott. I'm a conscious citizen worker within the provisional government. I'm out of Ida B. Wells. I'm currently serve as a district representative and president. Free the land.
Okay.
Thanks for having
me. Okay. Body Minister. Okay. Who's next?
Okay, free the land. This is Mama Ayo. I'm a conscious citizen worker out of Ida B. Wells. I currently serve as a PCC representative for Ida B. Wells and first vice president of
okay.
the PGI.
Okay.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. You're welcome, no doubt. Okay.
Great. Free the land. This is Deputy Minister Melly Queen. I'm out of Ida B. Wells District. I serve as Secretary of the PCC as well. Thank you for having us tonight. Now you.
Okay, you're welcome. Okay, you're welcome. Okay. Okay. No, my first question is, right, what actually is your definition of a new African woman? What's your definition of that? You know, y'all can take turns answering it. What's y'all definition of a new African woman?
Okay, so I guess I'll go first. A new African woman is a highly melanated female that is considered herself new African in terms of lineage, who dwells here in these hills of America that is striving every single day, in every aspect of her life, to transform herself into becoming a new African, because the requirements are serious. So it's most definitely a transformation that has to take place. Who is most definitely a nurturer, nurtures the
okay.
process. Who is knows who she is, knows her history, so that and studies her history, so that she knows how to catapult forward in the present and the future. A sister is willing to do whatever is necessary, for the liberation of her people in New Africa. And I'll just start with that, and then everybody else can fill it on in.
Okay, that sounds really good. I mean, you're very informative. You know, you laid out a blueprint. Sound beautiful.
Okay, I'll go next. Mama Ayo, I would say that a A new African system is anybody who comes who considers themselves a descendant of enslaved Africans. That's the basis of our identity, because we know the historical realities under which we have been placed in this particular continent. And once that person taps into that knowledge, it goes to the next level. All right, they have to ask themselves, am I going to be of service first to myself, then to my family, the community, the nation? And then as a new African person who has accepted that identity, who has accepted that reality, that historical walk, they go to the next level to become a conscious citizen. But even before that, it's just the fact that I'm a new African because I come from a whole bunch of lineages, that if I did my DNA, I could see that I'm probably part of the Fulani, I might be part Igbo, I might be part Ashanti, I might be part of Xhosa, I might be part of an indigenous from this land, and I, of course, going to have maybe 20%, 15%, maybe 10%. Some come out differently of the Caucasoid genetic makeup. So I just want to come from that particular perspective. And with that, I yield.
Okay. That's good perspective. Scientific.
Okay, I guess I'll go next. And I'll just add that also a new African woman must always know who she is, which is the mother of the earth, and she walks in that truth and that light, and she lives by the New African Creed as much as she can every day, and I yield.
Okay, no doubt, no doubt. Ways to ask you, you know, I want to share information with all y'all sisters, right? I want to share information with y'all from the historical perspective by the PG, right? Now, Queen Mother Moore, well, she was the first one to sign the Declaration of Independence. She was a new African woman. Okay. Mama Mae Mallory was the first female ambassador of the Virginia Republic of Africa. Mama Betty Shabazz, Dr. Betty Shabazz education was the first Secretary President of the original cabinet. Mama Joanne Franklin was the first Minister of Justice of the original cabinet. Queen Mama was the first Minister of Health of the original cabinet, right? And Mama Dar Abakari with the first female president of the Virginia Republic of Africa, right? Those are historical facts, you know. And what are those facts and reality mean to you all? Especially, yeah, okay, go ahead. What do facts mean to you all?
You say you asking, well, what did those facts that you just gave us mean to us?
Yes.
Oh, then we had some powerful women that helped start our provisional government. And without them, hey, we'll know where we would be. And I yield.
Okay. Okay. Doubt.
Well, I would like to answer that. This is Mama Ayo. I would definitely be in agreement with Nelly Queen, but I also want to paint the picture that women have always been part of a liberation movement. We have lots of examples through history, but when we focus on the beginnings of the PGRNA, we're talking about women who took on roles of responsibility in addition to the things that they did in their homes to help build the nation, to help fortify the nation, to be examples of conscious citizen workers, to put the paperwork together, to type and to stay up late with our brothers, our comrade brothers, to actually be not only above ground doing the work, but actually part of the underground movements to make sure that our nation fulfilled all of the, requirements for us to declare ourselves self-determined, independent, and to establish just the foundations of the nation. And I know that they had to do a lot of sacrifice, a lot of time given to actually laying down the foundations and we're very proud of them, and you always call their names. So, and there are more. I mean, there are more sisters. When you look in some of the New African journals, or you're reading some of the historical documents, and they're calling people's names, they're listing who was a part of different initiatives. There are a lot of women, and I think there's just as many men as there are women who participated and who contributed to the longevity of the Republic of New Africa. And with that, I yield.
Indeed.
Okay, Frieda Land.
Hi, Minister.
Well, the founding mothers and all of our ancestral mothers that the ones that laid down the foundation. You know, they were the ones working in concert with the brothers. You know, that's why a lot of our foundational documents are so universally balanced and connected with nature and universal law, because it was the duality. People don't realize the duality of male and female working together in concert with one another. It brings about the perfect balance, brings about a strong foundation. So, you know, I look at them as a foundation builder, you know, actively working to build our new African villages and communities and the foundation of our nation. So, you know, and I, it's an honor to continue that work. Now you're back.
Okay. Yeah, that's very good information. A lot of times in a lot of these movements, especially when people, especially in movement embarking upon European ideology, they tend to oppress women on a different level, right? You know, but they speak about equality or building a part or building a formation organization, but they had European mind states within them that are actually chauvinist, you know, especially from a male chauvinist perspective. You know, and like all y'all don't state it, historically, the New African woman had always been a vital part of the building process in regards to organization, in regards to structure, in regards to manifest documentation. Like, for instance, without Amy Jacquard Garvey, there wouldn't be a UNIA, you know, without her, you know. And she even wrote a lot of documents for Garvey. He even, you know what I'm saying, talked about him in the book that she wrote upon his demise. So, you know, you look at those particular situations, you know what I'm saying, you can't have a new African nation without a new African woman. It's impossible. It's impossible to do so, you know. You can't build a nation without that. It's impossible, you know. It was a new African nation, woman without a new African man. You know, that's the only thing that makes sense, like you said, the balance.
I definitely want to veg you back on what you said, Comrade Bomani, because
okay.
When you talk about without the African woman and without the African man, that is the foundation of the nation, because we're talking about entering into new African marriage so that we can continue to build. A nation can't be built without our seeds continuing the work, younger people picking up the banner of liberation, self-determination. And so we stress that because you and I know that once the nation declared its independence, once the nation began to move forward, there was a concerted and very deliberate attack on this nation, as well as other, you know, of our alliances that we forged during the time that we came together. So for these years that have happened, our sisters have had to be supports for our comrades behind the walls. They've actually had to be incarcerated four times, even to the point where they've had to have children inside prisons. And to definitely have to hold the fort while our brothers have had to be under extreme inhumane conditions in the penal system. So when we talk about holding up half of the weight, yes, new African women have had to do that. But once you come from a new African perspective, it's an honor and a duty, and it's just part of the work that continues as we continue to build this nation. And with that, I yield.
Okay. You know,
Brother Bomani, can you repeat the question again?
It was a necessary requirement. I just made a statement. It wasn't no question. I was talking about the significance of a new African woman. I was saying that you can't build a new African nation without a new African woman, right? It would be new African woman and new African man to build a nation. You know what I'm saying? That's imperative. That's why I was just making a statement in regards. I was just building on certain things. The moment Ayo just added on, that's all that was on the significance, you know? That's all that was. Okay.
Sounds good.
You know, no doubt. You know, at this time, you know, I'm going to pass it on to the Minister Akin to take y'all further through the show, right? First of all, I want to thank y'all, you know, for the work that y'all are doing, the sacrifice, the commitment, everything y'all are doing to make things fall into place, to bring order, you know what I'm saying, to symbolize, signify that state of Mayotte, you know, that people talk about, that people want to signify. So I appreciate all the work y'all done did, you know, and the work y'all doing in the past, right, in the present, right now, especially right now, you know. Now, yeah, I'm going to pass on to Minister Akin Bekele to take it further through the show. Free line.
Free the land. I just want to say thank you again to all these good queen sisters who were able to make the call tonight. Thank you for your time, and we certainly do appreciate it. So we talked a little about the historical aspect of being a new African woman. Being that another one of the hats you all wear is being a part of the New African Nation Day Planning Committee, I want to go and ask a couple of questions about that. Can someone kind of give us a rundown or a synopsis? What is New African Nation Day, and how did it come about?
Is that going to be the easiest question? I might need to answer that one since I do know a little less answer. Is that going to be the easiest one?
I don't know, man.
I'll yield to Mama Ayo. Mama Ayo is one I yield to. Mama Ayo is so
fine. Okay. All right. So New African Nation Day is a commemorative celebration that we do every year in honor of our very first, in honor of the beginning of the start of our nation, which was March 31st, 1968, where we had delegates from all over come to Detroit to actually compose our Declaration of Independence. You know, it was a letter sent out from the Malcolm X Society that invited folks to say, look, it's time for us to build our own nation. Folks came, and we still here. So it's the time to just commemorate that time. And it's also a time for our nation people, our citizens, to come together, to touch and agree, to review the work that's been done over the year from the last Nation Day, and just really commune and strategize, possibly, depending on what the conversation is in terms of what needs to take place presently and for the future within the next year, so, and some years to come. So it's just a time for commemoration, time to build, continue, because, you know, our nation, we're still provisional, and we're in a rebuild phase. So I yield back.
So when we've been working on New African Nation Day for approximately maybe, let's say, good 10 to 11 months. And we decided that we were going to take ourselves to Charleston, South Carolina, because South Carolina, of course, is one of the five states that we've identified as our national territory. And we asked the elders, have we had any Reclamation Day before there? And since this is what we call one of those years, one of those primary years that we want to highlight, the 55th, turning ourselves into the cycle of one, we said, let's take this, and it's a huge initiative to go to South Carolina because we want to see the lay of the land. We decided that once we started really investing, the Gullah Geechee Nation is new African citizens and various organizations, as well as some conscious new African citizens. And we took that leap of faith to go to South Carolina to actually bear witness to what is going to possibly from the Gullah Geechee Nation, what is happening with their land, because that's something that we're interested in, because we say that we want to be, in support of indigenous and aboriginal new Africans that are there on the land, to lend our support, to actually let the village know that since they were the first leader of the Oyutunjis, part of the at one point, just to let know that here we want to rebuild connections and support and to possibly spark our local brothers and sisters in Charleston to be curious enough to find out about this work, to ask what are some of the challenges, because every place that new Africans are, we are being oppressed. Lands taken, gentrification occurring, and we want to have those conversations. What's the best way to move forward? How do we build new African citizenship and to leave a legacy, to make our mark, to actually create history? This is the first time the PGRNA is going to be having a New African Nation Day in South Carolina, Charleston, to be specific, and we've had to do a lot of going back and forth, finding connections, and doing the best that we can. And we're really appreciative of all the help, all the references, everybody that was able to contribute to our journey back and forth several times, all of the workers on the ground, because in my assessment, this is a true example of collective work and responsibility, the spirit of Ujima. And, we're just very, very grateful and appreciative that we were able to actually say that. And, I mean, every member on the committee did their part, whether it was a reference, whether it was going there, whether it's a phone call, whether it's, just making any and all connections to help us pull this off. Because in some ways we went there almost blind, so... I'm really proud of the effort, and I'll never, stop singing praises. That, it's about the work and the responsibility, and if our intent is correct, this is what we're getting. Man 55, and I yield.
I appreciate that. You all did a very good job of talking about the history of New African Nation Day, but you also did one other thing. You built up a mystique about it. So at this time, if you would, kind of let people know what's going on, New African Nation Day. What can those people who have registered expect during New African Nation Day 55 this year in Charleston, South Carolina?
Well, I would like to add, Freeland, it's Sister Mother Queen. We have a lot of events planned for NAN 55. It's going to be very, very, it's going to be fun. And hey, we got a lot of things planned. First day, Friday, we have a historical tour planned of South Carolina. Then we have a libation, Angel Oak Tree. We're going to have a premiere of a documentary by Sunni Ali family. And Al Yeo right there, and Mama Ayo is with Star A&O.
Okay, Melly Queen, you just wanted me to finish up, okay? She talked about Friday, we have a community outreach, which is, of course, asking the community in North Charleston, where we will be specifically housed, to come out, find out a little bit more, meet and greet. There'll be vendors, so there's opportunities for vending. So we definitely want the Charleston community to come out and support the vending. There'll, of course, be a DJ. So for the first day, most of the activities will be outside. But as Melly Queen said, towards the evening, we are going to have what we call the reenactment of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. So those who show up, the elders will be speaking about that time. We will have, of course, of the 99th signer of the Declaration of Independence. Baba Bilal will be, of course, gracing us with his presence, and, of course, we'll be premiering a film on that day. So that's just to get us started. And we're intentional about that day because it's been a long time that New African Nation Day fell directly on March 31st. So that's another beautiful indication that we're in the rebuild process. So Saturday begins early in the morning with New African citizens coming to register. Oh, and I did want to mention the tour. I'm sorry. Let me backtrack a little bit. The tour starts at 8 o'clock in the morning, and it is, as Melly Queen says, it's a historical tour of Charleston. We have some rebellion that people need to be aware of. They need to see the spot in which 30 to 40% of new Africans entered into the U.S. through that particular, I would say, fort. We will call them forts. In Africa, we call them slave guns. But those forts, and to see that there isn't even a marker there in Charleston, South Carolina.
Oh, they're showing you examples right now.
Yeah. So we want people to know that there'll be some evidences
real,
in Mark D.C. and Gabriel Prosser. And the spirit of resistance.
Somebody need to mute. Excuse me, Mama Ayo, I apologize.
Yeah, Freedom Land, this has been taken care of. Go ahead, Mama Ayo. My apologies.
Okay, not a problem. And then to see the islands that the Gullah Geechee have inhabited and how they have been slowly but surely taken away as most of our lands. So it's a good tour because it has a lot of historical significance. South Carolina, that's a major entry point for new Africans. So we're really, really excited because people need to come and bear witness. And the Angel Oak has a unique performance, like a gathering place, and we definitely want to pay homage to the ancestors that made their plans, that planned their rebellions, that planned their escapes from that particular tree called the Angel Oak. And we're looking forward to people just gathering. And, you know, there's something about when new African people gather and pray and pour those libations for and being intentional, that it's a mighty, mighty, mighty force. So, again, starting on Saturday, We start officially with the opening of the way. If you have children, there's that they be in this particular time. The flag ceremony from our Legionnaires will definitely be a part. And then from there, we have the welcoming, the reciting of the creed, and then the business begins, where we want to talk about different topics during the day. A beautiful array of speakers, conscious citizens who will be involved. We will have, of course, video messages from different organizations. We will have, of course, speakers. When we talk about speakers. We've been blessed with many of the elders when we asked. We will have.
Mama, are you breaking up?
Let's fix. Can you hear me now?
Just barely.
Here. Breaking up. Can you hear me now?
Yes, that's better.
Okay, so we'll be talking. We'll be getting some brothers and sisters, new Africans, comrades, to talk about the different organizations. They'll be talking about a brother from the All African People's Revolutionary Party. We'll talk about our Grand Ambassador, Baba Singh Morbai. Will be representing the UNIA, the ACL. There'll be a queen sister who will be speaking on behalf of the Gullah Geechee Chamber of Commerce. And then we were able to connect with an indigenous nation from the Wakama Nation of indigenous, and we possibly will be graced with the Oba, Agdebolu. And then towards the afternoon, of course, we will be talking about a plebiscite, what that looks like, what we need to be speaking of. And, of course, there'll be speakers from New African People's Organization, Malcolm X, Grassroots. Baba Bilal will be speaking. And, of course, there may be a video speech from Comrade Jalil Muthakim. And, of course, Dr. Mutulu Shakur will be involved if, you know, time and his health permits. We're also going to be talking about reparations. We'll have, of course, Mama Nkechi Taifa, Mama Mashariki Jawanza from Nkobra, Baba Lukata, who will be talking about land acquisition, and, of course, our brother, comrade brother Tajwe Al-Kabulan from the PPI. And then that evening, of course, will be a combination where we will gather as New Africans and make sure that we eat together. We listen to what we call melanin music, which is vibrationally uplifting for us, because whether we like it or not, we are a vibrational people, and we need to hear songs that fortify our quest to be independent, to be new African people. And there's plenty of good music, good song, and just good vibrations. Of course, we end on Sunday with the Ministries of Justice and Defense, and we're going to be talking about how computers and technology should be utilized as far as the new African nation. We're going to be looking at emergency preparedness, of course, from Baba Watani. We'll be looking at political prisoners. Baba Masai Ehehosi will be giving us basic information. Now, these brothers and sisters won't be talking long, so that we are allowed to have a lot of questions, because that's where the conversation really becomes dynamic, as with the question and answer. We'll move on late morning, where we'll be talking about new African education. And, of course, our co-ministers of education, Mama Nkoyo and Baba Amin will be talking about homeschooling, new African curriculums. We may have an administrator from the Quilombo Academy. Some of these things are still being fine-tuned up until the last minute. And, of course, we'll be having a youth leadership development from Baba Akinyele from NAPO and Malcolm X Grassroots. We'll talk about the New African Scout, which is our intent as a nation to incorporate some strategies to engage our young people into being better New African youth. And their program is excellent. It's already been in practice. There's no need to reinvent the wheel. Towards the afternoon, we're going to be talking about the Ministry of Health and Society and what does it mean for New Africans to have physical and mental well-being. Dr. Kokai Patterson, who's with the Acupuncture Detox Specialist Collective, will be video speaking on self and destructive behaviors for New Africans. And then, of course, Baba Asajifo from NAPO and the Malcolm X Grassroots will be talking about, you know, the New African Independence Movement, the PGRNA and human rights. What does that look like for us? Then when that is done at 3:30, somewhere around there, we'll be sitting down and going through criticism and self-criticism of New African and unity, of course. Criticism, self-criticism, and unity. For NAN 55 and what we need to incorporate for next year, all of our charges as we all leave as part of what we consider the New African Independence Movement, our allies. That would be the end until next year. So we'll be ending around maybe 4:30-ish on Sunday. So it's a full program. It's necessary. It's needed. All that come who are New Africans who are ready to participate in nation building, self-determination. Everyone is welcome. And those that are curious, want to know more, want to become conscious citizens, it's going to be great. And with that, I yield.
Thank you for that, Mama Ayo. It seems to be a historic event indeed with all of the activities going on. And I just want to thank you and all the other members of the Nation Day Planning Committee for putting together a strong list of activities for New Africans to participate in. At this time, I wanted to let any callers in who are on the line know that if you'd like to ask questions to our panel at this time, please hit the number 1 so that you can be recognized and ask a question to our panel. At this time, if there are any callers who want to ask a question, please hit the number 1 on your dial so you can ask a question. All right. So I guess continuing on. So we understand what Nation Day is and some of what's going on. Can you all speak to what are some of the goals? Because as you mentioned, this schedule of events is pretty deep. And so, can you just speak to what it is that you all are hoping to accomplish by having this 55th New African Nation Day? And just kind of walk us through that, what the goals is overall of having this event.
Okay, well, I'll start off. One of the main goals that we are trying to accomplish is reconnecting with New Africans in South Carolina, the nations and tribes there, and different things like that. And as well as connect with New Africans nation and worldwide. So one of our main objectives of NAN is to reconnect with our people, our lineage, and I yield.
Yes, indeed. And just to add to what Melly Queen was saying, Yeah, right now we're in the rebuild phase. So our goal is to build relationships. So we want to build relationships on the ground there in South Carolina. We want to build relationships with other brothers and sisters that are working, that have been working within the New African Independence Movement. You know, that's our main goal. And, of course, we want to build those relationships, but in building those relationships is really sharing what we have been doing, sharing what has already been built so that we can have a fuller picture of what we have, you know, and what can be duplicated in other areas. So, you know, building relationships, basically what Melly Queen said, building relationships, because that is necessary. I feel like New Africa has a lot happening, yet if it's not put together for this beautiful united front that we so desperately need, it defeats the purpose. So we're building a nation. We have a nation of people that have been working, and so we want to bring all of that together so we can get a good picture of what we have and what we're looking at. I yield back.
Thank you for that. Appreciate that tremendously. I guess at this time, I will see if my co-host has any other questions he would like to ask. I'm going to defer back to Brother Bo Money, see if he has any questions that he would like to add on before we get ready for final thoughts.
Okay. Free land. I heard y'all had a pretty good conversation, but I didn't hear anybody say anything. How do you sign up for New African Nation Day? I know it was said you can be there physically. What if you not be able to attend physically? Is there some kind of way you can attend through video or audio if you're not be able to attend physically and see what's going on or hear what's going on? How can you participate in the glorious events of New African Nation Day?
Okay, I was just going to say that you can visit our page on Eventbrite, type in New African Nations Day, and also visit our website at pg-rna.com. We have information there. And you can also reach out to one of us, Sister Nelly Queen, Mama, Madam Vice President, Mama Ayo, and President Sister Son. You can reach out to one of us, and we will get you additional information. And I yield there, and I'll let them know.
Free the land.
I appreciate it.
Brother Bomani, you asked about if people are unable to attend in person. We definitely, if you go to Eventbrite, you can sign up for a Zoom component, and you'll be sent the information because we'll do our best to make sure that you hear most of the speakers on Saturday and Sunday. We might be able to even tap into a few events on the Friday as well. If you don't want or you cannot attend via Zoom, you can also decide to buy a T-shirt. Definitely, if you feel that you want to support what the Republic of New Africa is doing, you can always go to their website and donate and say, you know, just a donation for New African Nation Day. But one of the biggest things where we will be calling for at this NAND is for New Africans to consider paying monthly taxes, which is $5 per family, and to make that a built-in budget item. So there are different ways, or to just donate towards building the nation. We'll be talking about those particular aspects because if you look around the world, if you look at our founding documents, one of the things that they ask if you're a conscious citizen to definitely declare your citizenship, to make the Republic of New Africa your government. The second thing is to make sure that you be of assistance to the government with whatever skill that you have. And, of course, depending on which document might be the second thing, is to pay taxes. No nation can survive without its citizens paying taxes, because we're in this particular system. Taxes are taken out outside of everything. You go to the grocery store, you go to the gas station, you decide you want to get something at the movie, anything. You go to a concert, anything, even on Eventbrite. Taxes are taken. You can't go anywhere. Taxes are applied everywhere. And, citizen taxes run this nation. Run it. And there's no denying it. Whether we like it or not, taxes are paid. One way or the other. And so for a new African nation to thrive and to build until we win reparations, it is critical and necessary that new African citizens pay taxes. And, because we know the condition of our people, we are asking for the minimum per month, $5. If you can do more, that's fine, but to pay. And the one thing to do is to go onto the website and pay via the website, PGRNA, www.pg-rna, or we have information where you can send your donation to Cash App, which would be the dollar sign, and capital letters, PGRNA, put your name and the details and the message that you want to leave, and it will be recorded by our treasurer. With that, I will.
Okay. And Mama, for some reason, you break.
Okay. Is it also another question? If citizens or people wanted to volunteer their services, would it be able to do so during Reaffirmation Day? Would it be able to do so if they wanted to volunteer their services?
Of course.
How would they go about doing so? How would they go about doing so if they are able to do so?
Free the land. If as long as you volunteer their time, they can get in touch with us ASAP. Exactly. We do have a list of volunteers, so they can get in touch with us ASAP.
Free the land, I'm sorry, but you're breaking up real bad, see.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay, yes, you can most definitely get in touch with us to volunteer. You can send an email to any one of us on the phone. My email is sahmaat@gmail.com. sahmaat@gmail.com. And we'll put you on the volunteer list, get in contact with you, let you know exactly where we need you to serve. I'll yield back.
And, okay. You can contact me with my email. My email is meetmerm101@gmail.com.
Okay. Okay. You know, it based on all my questions, right? What are y'all final thoughts you want to leave us with, you know, in regards to if it's a quote, it's content information, what are your final thoughts that each one of y'all want to leave us with? And I'm going to pass it on to Minister Akin after that. Take us on out.
All right, Freedom Lane, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, so my final thoughts would be to leave with all new African citizens, I mean, just all new Africans in general, is that you have a nation. And everybody's participating in nation building in some way, manner, or fashion. The question is, what nation are you building? That is a pertinent question. You want to make sure that all your gifts, your talents, your superpowers is going toward you and yours. and your legacy that you want to leave on the planet. It's nobody else's responsibility. It's only our responsibility to build for self, do for self. If we want peaceful communities, that lies in our hands. If we want to see the world be a better place, that is our responsibility. And so we have to make sure that we are in work, study, and training, because you most definitely have to transform your thinking so that your thinking can move to you actually building for self, doing for self, building our own institution. Make sure that our communities have food, clothing, shelter, sick needs, right? That's our responsibility. So that is pretty much what I want to leave with the public. That is, it's on us, and we have all the resources that we could possibly need right at our fingertips. We have people resources, we have land resources, we have resources. We just have to make sure that we are loving ourselves enough, loving on ourselves enough to do this work for self, because we are worthy. We are worthy, and we are worthy of making sure that our children not only know who they are, but are active in actually building a legacy for self, rebuilding our legacy that has been stolen, you know? But we have to rebuild that. We have to bring it back into reality. And I yield back. Thank you so much for having us.
Ashe.
Thank you, sister. Well.
Can I go ahead?
Yeah, you go ahead, sir.
Okay, what I would like to say and leave with the with our family and our people is what nation do you want to build and leave for your children? It's time for us to get ourselves together and start doing some kind of healing, because we all have traumas that we need to face, get rid of, and stop passing on to our children. Break some of these generational curses and these rituals and different things that we've been carrying on too long, and start walking in your natural light, in who you're supposed to be, in your true self. Because I know a lot of us, because I'm learning as well to love myself more, so that I can start being more loving and healing and nurturing toward my children, my family, and my people. So we all need to do this. And thank you all for having us tonight. And I want to also say always salute to Madam President Samayat and Madam Vice President Mama Ayo, because they are examples and exemplary. You know, they are awesome examples of what a new African woman should be, and they walk in their light, and they are serving our nation well. I am honored to be on this administration and on this, you know, on this team, in this family. I love you all. Thank you all for having us tonight. Now you live.
You're welcome, sister.
We love you too.
I just want to thank you, Minister Bomani and Minister Akin, for having us on.
No doubt.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you.
Okay. And I just wanted to, as a final statement, show great gratitude, express my gratitude and great appreciation for the NAN Planning Committee, the brothers and sisters, our Babas and Mama Elders, that are sacrificing to make this program come to fruition, and all the conscious citizen workers, volunteers, the youth that are excited and curious. I do want us to remember that we're coming together to build a new African Liberation Front. We want to reiterate while we are there the position of the provisional government of the Republic of New Africa. We want to expose new African citizens to our founding documents, to encourage our conscious citizens or citizens in general to get into a work, study, and training unit, because we are trying to rebuild community. And by coming into unit study, work, and training, it covers so many dynamics, from healing to training to protection to survival to just opening up our new African mindsets and helping each other transform, because every single person who is a descendant of an enslaved African has trauma, has drama, has epigenetic issues, PTSD, and we have to learn to first love ourselves, love each other, know our characteristics of the good things about us, the character flaws, and transform each other together, because we're getting ready to build a nation that the world has not known before. And when we cannot be Eurocentric minded, and we have to be those type of tendencies have to be pointed out, as we've talked about today, as far as new African women and men moving forward for building the nation. And our children, it is important that our children and our grandchildren see us doing this work, because we cannot expect them to pick up the banner unless they see us transforming. They hear it in our voice. They see it in our actions. They literally see us begin to love, to exhibit black-on-black love to one another, so that we can defend and protect our communities, rebuild our communities, and to establish economic empowerment along with all of this. So we just want to come and gather, talk about it, because our ultimate mission, as we proclaimed 55 years ago, is that we are an independent nation. We are demanding reparations because of genocide to our people on all levels. Self-determination, what does that look like? What's the conversation among new Africans? When we come together, we will see who still wants to be the integrationist, which is your right. Who wants to be the people who repatriate, which is your right. Stay and build and defend the Republic of New Africa. And we're on that mission, because once we gather in Charleston, March 31st through April 2nd, the next step is implementing plebiscite. And with that, I yield. Thank you so much, Comrade Brothers.
You're welcome. I'm going to say long live the resistance, long live the African independent movement, and they'll do the work. I'm going to pass on to Minister Akin McKayla to take us on out.
All right. Thank you for that, my co-host, Minister Bomani. And again, I just want to reiterate to thanking you all for being a guest on our show tonight. It was a really good show, a lot of information, and I really enjoyed the fact that we were able to shed light and give tribute to a lot of the work that has been done by our new African women, because it's never enough times to let them know how we appreciate them as a whole, for all of the countless tribulations and trials that they've gone through, and to still be as strong as they are, as well as a shining influence for those coming behind them. So whenever you have new African women doing that, it's never too many times to recognize that. And I just want to appreciate you all. And I just want to again say that we look forward to everyone coming out for Nation Day this year, March 31st in Charleston, South Carolina. You can go on pg-rna.com or Eventbrite information. And as well, we look forward to seeing you again on another episode of the PGRNA Radio Show. This airs every third Monday of the month, where we have topics ranging from anything you would want to know. And if you do have any ideas or for show topics, feel free to drop us a line and let us know on the pg-rna.com radio show. Thank you all. I appreciate your time. To the next show. Prison Lane.
Land. 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 Land.